Hey, listen, I've been psyched to bring these guys in. I've wanted to talk to them for a while. Dudley Town Brewing, if you go down Dayhill Road in Windsor, Connecticut, yeah, you might want to pony up to that. It's got this great look to it, and it's right near, because my son plays lacrosse over at those fields, and the brewery's been tremendously successful in a time where it's real difficult to succeed. Daryl Dunlap and Jonathan Levine, the two co-founders of Dudley Town Brewery, joining us. First of all, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, why? I mean, honestly, like, breweries are closing, right? And you guys are just ramping up. Like, why go on this journey? I mean, it's pretty intense, and you guys are fully invested.
We are fully invested. I appreciate the kind words that you started out with.
The place looks really great. I mean, it does.
Yeah. I mean, we went heart and soul into this project. And I think that one of the things that we wanted to do to kind of stand out was to actually have a destination for folks. So we were very fortunate to partner with the owner of the property over there. And in the beginning stages, my background's commercial construction. I put together all of the renderings and the plans and that sort of thing. And I presented to the owner of the property, and he was explaining to us what was happening in that development at Dayhill Road with Fast Pitch Nation, with the Dome. There's future hotels that are going to be happening there.
There's a lot going to happen there.
Yeah. So we just basically were like, this felt like the right spot for us. We looked at tons of different locations in Windsor, in other towns. I live in Windsor, and I felt like we needed to be in Windsor because, I don't know, there's nothing like our place in our town. But ultimately, that was that side of the coin. We really wanted to have a brew pub destination where folks could come out and have beer that we make, but also have a food component, which we're a little behind on, but that's hopefully going to be happening sooner than later. And just having just a beautiful place for people to feel comfortable in the community to come in and that sort of thing. That was our thought.
Yeah,
on
go
that.
Ahead real quick.
Yeah, I think that's one of the nicest things that about what we built is, you know, we have generations of people coming in, and they come in with their grandkids, you know, the dad, the grandfather, and the great-grandfather. They all come in and have a beer, and it's really lovely to see.
You know, I we have the whole hour. I mean, there's going to be less talk time than you think because we have a lot of news, weather, and traffic, but I have so many things I want to ask you, but I think it's interesting. I mean, Back East is a good brewer, but their space is tight. It's different. Treehouse is far. New Park doesn't have space. Fox Farms is 40 minutes away for a lot of people. So, like, a good destination brewery, there just aren't a lot of good ones within, like, a direct, easy drive of even the Hartford area. So, I mean, I think that that place is only, if you had told me 3 years ago that you should put it there, I would have said you're crazy because it's all industrial. But now, seeing what's already there and what's coming, it seems like a real ahead of the curve kind of deal. And I want to get more into the vision and the beer itself, and because I am a beer drinker. I just got back. I visited the Treehouse place in Woodstock because I was told that the beer they make there is better than in Charlton and whatever. So I want to talk about the product too. All right, so we're back with Daryl Dunlap and Jonathan Levine from Dudley Town Brewery in Windsor on Dayhill Road. And so we got into it a little bit, but can you take us through the origin story here a little? Because it's a really organic one. You weren't some investment bankers who wanted to capitalize on craft brewing. You know, why don't you take us through how this started?
Sure. So we basically, once we decided that we were going to do this as a more than just a hobby, I guess, I had a barn behind my house, and I rallied up the troops with friends. My background, again, is construction.
You guys knew each other?
Yeah.
You were buddies?
Yeah, okay. So Jonathan and I were family. He married my niece, and so now we're even more than family, right? We're business partners and family. But we built out the interior of the barn, and we really wanted to have an inspiration room. The barn itself is all wood clad.
An inspiration room?
An inspiration room.
Is that like a man cave with a nice term or something?
Yeah, nice. Yes. I mean, it's a pretty nice spot for sure. But we, you know, we had four draft lines in there. We had a half barrel pilot system.
Of your own beer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were making, who started making the beer?
The two of us. Yeah.
And how did you start? Had you ever made beer before?
Well, I think that again, I think we did a, there's a lot of, you know, R&D or whatever research that we were looking at, because we didn't want to make bad beer. But everybody, when you first start out, it's not great, right?
Were you thinking, but back then, what year are we talking?
2017.
So in 2017, when you started doing this, did you already think that someday you wanted a business, or were you doing this for S's and G's?
I think that I knew in my mind, I don't know how John felt about it, but like me personally, myself, like I'm kind of like the go big or go home type of guy.
It was more a hobby for me. You know, I had a full-time job that I did love, and, you know, I think making great beer would be awesome to do. So why not?
So you had four lines in a barn in Windsor, and just friends would come over and hang?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main reason that, like, when we would brew beer, was intentional. So we would make beer knowing that we were going to attend a beer festival or a homebrew challenge, that sort of thing, because there's no way that we could drink that much beer, right?
Right.
We would hold a party in the summertime, and we'd invite friends and family, and we'd get a good crowd at our spot. We do like a stout meetup like in the cold weather time. So about twice a year we'd have something going on at the house. Other than that, we just attended festivals, and we just really wanted to get our name out there.
Jonathan, when did you know you had something?
Probably 2018, when we started doing the homebrew festivals and we started winning some of these competitions, and people were saying how much they loved our beer. That was really something special.
So then we sort of skipped the early part of it where you just started brewing beer and just figuring it out. Then you knew you had something good. You had this, you made this barn into a cool space, and then you started winning competitions. And then, and when do you decide, let's get a different space and commercialize it?
Yeah, I think, you know, there was a lot of time between 2017 when it was a conception to when we actually opened our doors, because we didn't open our doors until 2023.
Well, because the pandemic kind of.
Yeah, the pandemic. I mean, I was sitting down with the owner of the property on Day Hill Road. It was Friday, March 13th, 2020.
Oh, right? I remember that. We were in Mexico until March 9th. I mean, it's almost like, where were you when Kennedy got shot? Yeah.
Everybody has a story. Yeah. We were taping the floors off the day before they closed everything down, taping the floors off of where the brew house was going to be.
The brew house, and where the kitchen was going to be.
Is that in the same place it is now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So then when that happened, we kind of had to shelf the project. We had a little bit of commitment from seed, you know, from investors, that sort of thing. And I really didn't know if we were going to get the project off the ground or not. But once the dust started settling with COVID, I think that we revisited middle of 2021. I started rallying the troops, and
you got lucky in the sense that you didn't have to put a ton of capital down before the pandemic hit, right? Because if you had put a lot of capital into it and then couldn't open, that would have been a different kind of challenge.
Yeah, I think the only thing I did was I did put a deposit down on the lease, which wasn't we're not talking millions of dollars here or anything, but it was just
it's real money to
make a commitment to that. And the owner of the property was very supportive of us. I mean, he really wanted Dudleytown as an anchor. When he saw the renderings of the place, I mean, the renderings are very true to what it actually looks like. That's when, I felt like that we had something at that point.
Yeah, it was definitely a blessing in disguise. You know, the beer world before COVID and the beer world now are two separate things. And the great thing is we got to see the trends and what was happening.
So what was it before, and what is it now?
I mean, beer was crazy before, 2018, 2019, before COVID.
They were opening up breweries everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah.
There was definitely growth in the industry. And like I attend a lot of the different, local and also national meetings when it talks about beer, and beer's down. Like we know that. And like you mentioned earlier, that's really why we chose to the location and to have a place that's special. We still have our challenges. Like we have a beautiful place, but
you got to get people to sample it. I mean, yeah, would you basically like, and then we got to take another break here, but you basically, in 5 years, that area is going to be built up by a multiple.
Yeah.
And you just got to get there. But in the meantime, you got to get. So the fact that you're having some success now before that's all done is a really good sign, right? I mean, because people are coming to you. They don't. I mean, outside of the softball tournaments, we have to go to Target to get food. You know, I mean, they're desperate. When you open that restaurant, it's going to kill because I was in Target because I live in Windsor. I was in Target and then all these softball players come in. I was like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, well, you can't get any food anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're like, that's why we're here. We're an all-day softball tournament.
Yeah. And a lot of the folks are coming in from out of town. They're coming in from New Jersey, from Rhode Island.
The last
they don't. They don't know our area.
Right, they don't know what's what. You want to say something real quick before we
do? That's what I was just going to say. They're staying in the hotels right down the road on Dayhill Road, and we're the only place right there. They come and hang out all day.
As a former, I didn't do club sports for long, but as someone who did it for a little, the dads will be appreciative.
Oh, yeah.
I can guarantee you that. When you got 8 hours of softball to watch. Well,
like our beer garden, we kind of designed that intentionally for the families to be able to hang out and enjoy that space. And, you know, Saturdays and Sundays, Fast Pitch Nation is hanging out with us, and we love that.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, I was looking at your site and all the different events. Like, do you have an event coordinator? Like, how does that work? Because you got a lot of stuff happening.
Yeah, so my wife, Ashley, is our event coordinator, and you know, we really do everything as a team. We come up with what we want.
Do you meet like once a week and be like, this is what we want to try? And then she go and execute
it? Yes, once a week and listening to my wife. Yeah. tell me everything I'm not doing on our website correctly.
And usually she's right.
Oh, she's always right. Of course. That's what I hate about it. but she, you know, people come to us with different ideas. I mean, we've had wrestling at our brewery where they come and put a rink outside.
Full on production.
Production.
Did people come?
Oh, yeah. We had around 100 people to that, where neighbors down the street said they could hear the roaring.
And
it was incredible. We have we have live comedy. So we have live comedy coming up on November 10th at our brewery. And we do it right in the tap room. And then,
you just set up a little mini stage and just get after it?
We have a stage that's in the tap room that's sort of, we built it just for that type of thing. We can also have like acoustic music, or sometimes we'll throw a band in there. We had a band for our Halloween bash. You know, we do have a big event that's coming up this Saturday, November 2nd.
Yeah.
It's going to be in the evening time. It's called Necropolis, and we're going to have. This is going to be a crazy event for us.
What does that mean?
Necropolis? I have no idea. So
does it mean something about like a city of dead people or
maybe,
something?
Maybe, yeah. So it is. So November 2nd is the Day of the Dead, I believe.
Yes.
And we teamed up with a company called New England Obscura. And Ritual Pizza, yep. And
a necropolis is a large, elaborate cemetery, particularly one that's ancient or historical. The word comes from the Greek word necropolis, which means city of the dead.
There you go.
Thank God for Google.
Seriously, you did that.
So these folks put on these types of events. They've done it before. They reached out to us because they like the space, and they like the idea of Dudley Town, because Dudley Town is a ghost town here in Connecticut. That's why we did name the brewery that. There's a lot of folklore, that sort of thing. And a lot of our beer names are kind of reflective of that as well. But getting back to necropolis, we're going to have 5 to 6 bands that are going to be playing music. We have over 40 vendors. There's going to be what do they call them, actors.
Yeah, actors, live acts.
There's potentially going to be some fire breathing. There's going to be a lot of crazy stuff happening.
Do people have to dress up or something? Or
it's not. You don't have to, but if folks want to, then please do.
It's encouraged.
Yes,
and it's $10 to get in. Includes all that stuff. The only thing on top of it you got to pay for is your beer and your food.
Yeah, we're going to have 4 to 5 food trucks there. There's going to be a lot of interesting vendors that are selling stuff that you could probably only get at this type of an event.
How do you know if it's going to work?
We don't. I mean, we get the feedback from the folks that have put these events on, and they're telling us that we could have anywhere between 200 to 1,000 people. So the fortunate thing is we
trust the process.
We trust the process, but we also have the space. So we're actually taking over the side parking lot. And that's where all the vendors are going to go. That's where the food trucks are going to go. The bands are going to be up on our beer garden. We have a large 20x20 stage that's going to be covered. We got a professional sound company coming in. It's going to be a really cool event. We're really excited about it. And we hope that, you know, a lot of folks come out and enjoy us.
$10 is nothing.
$10 is nothing yeah. for live music, or, yeah. you know, entertainment. I mean, you can't get anything for $10 anymore.
So up next, what I want to talk about is the beer.
Yes.
Because that ultimately is the product, and it's a crowded space, but the good beer always seems to emerge. So, you know, I want to talk about the beer you can get there, the retail business, and what your goals are for that. So we're going to stick around. Maybe we got to take a little bit of a break here. We're with Daryl Dunlap and Jonathan Levine from Dudley Town Brewery. Again, that event is Saturday night if you want to sample it. But they're open every day, right? Closed Mondays?
We're closed Mondays. We're open Tuesday through Thursday, 4 to 9. Fridays, 12 to 10. Saturday, 12 to 10. Sunday, 12 to 7.
And it looks like a big farm silo on the side of the road. And there's the now the Dayhill Dome is there, right? I always say it's on the left-hand side of Dayhill Road, but it depends on which direction you're coming. But it is a great-looking spot. So, Jonathan, where are your kids dressing up as? Where do you live? What town?
In South Windsor.
South Windsor?
Yeah.
We just had, you know, Kelly Juleson for the Governor's Prevention Partnership. She's from South Windsor. She says it's a good town for Halloween.
It's a great town.
What are the kids dressing up as?
We're dressing up as...
Oh, you're dressing up too?
Yeah, of course. I have to. My son's dressing up as... My older son's dressing up as Aaron Judge.
Oh, you're a Yankee fan.
Oh, big Yankees fans. And my younger one's just... He went with the skeleton.
Just the classic.
The classic skeleton. We were very surprised.
What about you guys? What are you guys doing?
Yankee.
What are you?
Yankee fan. Just Derek Jeter, I guess.
So that's what you'd wear on a typical Thursday anyway.
That's why it's an easy costume. Come on. That's
funny. Our producer, Matt, is a big Yankee fan, too. Yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see how they do. I honestly feel like they could still win. I do.
I hope so.
I don't hope so, but I'm a Red Sox fan. Listen, I want to talk about the beer because I sort of rode the IPA wave. And I still like them, but the days of me having 2 8-percenters on a Saturday while watching, you know, Welcome to Wrexham or, you know, some show, I can't do it. So I can have like one. And so I still like to have them, but I've definitely gotten much more into drinking more Pilsners and lagers and some other stuff. And so my first question is, give me one or two of your most popular beers. Like, what's selling?
Yeah, so we have So as you're saying, you can't drink an 8% beer. So we found that
I can drink one.
Yeah.
And I can drink two. But if I drink two, I'm in a little bit of trouble.
What we found is if you bring the alcohol percentage down, make it more crushable, more drinkable. You know, we have a Ghost IPA that's sitting at 6.8%.
That's like the sweet spot, right? 6.8, 6.5?
Yeah. Everybody's really loving it. It's a New England hazy IPA. The nice thing about it is it's really smooth. You drink it, it goes down really smooth. And then, you know, we have sours that people are really loving. We have one called Buried Bones to play on the whole Dudley Town. And the way we do our sours, it's a kettle sour that we back sweeten to make it a little bit sweeter, make it very, very approachable. So it's not as sour, and it's like a whole sweet tart effect.
So I got a couple of questions about beers in general, because I love sours. Mm-hmm. And again, you can't have too many of them either, but... What's the sugar content in these beers? Is it super high?
So basically with that particular, like our sours, what we do.
What are you laughing at, Jonathan?
We make a sour base, and we use that sour base for all of our sour beers. And then when it comes to flavor profiles, then we basically, we add in fruit concentrate into that product. So that fruit concentrate does have, you know, sugar in it, obviously, and it tends to make our sours more approachable. So like what Jonathan was saying, it's more of a sweet tart. You know, it's not as acidic as you would think a sour typically are. Yeah. So if I drink an acidic sour or even a apple cider, I kind of get that where my stomach is churning a little bit.
Agita,
yeah. Our pH levels on our sours aren't as low as others.
Right.
So you're not going to get that acid reflux that you do get with other sours.
Yeah, ours are more like, they taste more like an RTD more so than they do like a traditional sour.
So my question is, because I don't know a ton about beer, when they talk about all these beers have like these grandiose paragraphs on the back of the can of taste this with aromas of this, and I'm like, is this a load of crap or what? But when they talk about flavor profiles that are fruity, are they the hops just bring out that flavor and smell, or do you actually put that kind of fruit in it?
Yeah, so most of the time it is coming from the hops.
The hops actually makes the pineapple smell?
I think that it depends on the style of the beer. Like if we're doing a sour, you know, we're putting a berry concentrate in there, then obviously that's coming from the fruit.
Right.
When we're doing our IPAs, we don't add any fruit to them. The hops themselves, like we pick hops to go into the beer so that way they have those flavor profiles. We know what that is going into it. So we don't really add a whole lot of hops on the hot side of things. We typically add things, our hops in our whirlpool, and then a boatload of hops go in on the cold side, dry hopping. And when you do it that way, intentionally, we're getting those pineapple flavors. We're getting that orange. We're getting those hops were designed to go into the dry hop, and that's where you're getting those flavor bursts.
You have great, you want to say something?
No, just exactly what he said. So we have a, you know, when we get these hop selections from Yakima Chief, whoever we're getting hops from, they give us a wheel of what flavor you're going to get.
It'll bring out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, the cover art for this stuff, I go into a liquor store, I go into a Total Wine, and I see all this incredible art, and it almost glosses me over. This is what happens to me, and I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I see all these different things, and it's overwhelming, mm-hmm. and then I'll just pick a fiddlehead. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it scares me, right? So, and you're like, you have great art. I mean, I love your cover art, especially, and the names. I mean, like even like Buried Bones is a great pun. And how do you find a way to break through that? And what is your taste in your beer, quality wise or otherwise, you know, break through that crowded space?
Yeah, so I think right now we currently only sell beer in our tap room. We do have a large cooler where people can pick up 4 packs of beer to go. We do have our own canning line, so we make our own beer, we can our own beer.
But you're not putting it anywhere else right now.
So right now we're working. We're just focusing in on our in-house sales, but we've had talks with different folks in industry about how we're going to expand. We just right now, I think we're trying to focus on we're trying to focus on getting our restaurant open.
Yeah.
And then once that happens and we see what that uptick of beer flow is going to be, then we're going to pursue.
But what's the goal? Markets. Is the goal to, because, you know, Fox Farm, you can't find it anywhere in a store. Treehouse doesn't need to. I mean, they just print money by people coming to them. But most breweries don't have that luxury, right? So, and what's the goal? Is the goal to be in your Total Wines, or is your goal to be in it, you know, at the Yard Goats? Like, I mean, what are your goals here?
I think that ultimately,
it's like, let me talk.
Well, you can go ahead.
I think the thing right now that we're looking for is organic growth. Okay, whether it's us in restaurants, us in stores. Everything we want organically, and we want people to want our beer before we push it out to these different areas. And organic growth is the best way to do things nowadays. Focus on your backyard and really take care of what's going on inside your tap room, and then you could kind of branch out.
Yeah.
Are your ambitions to be like, because I guess like some people have startups and they want to get bought by a bigger brewery. And we just saw, you know, Wormtown got bought out. Yeah.
Rock. Yeah.
Yeah. But also in, they make Santilli and a Whirlpool. What's that? Night Shift got bought out.
Yeah.
I mean, those are really big brands in the Boston area and in Massachusetts. And like, I don't know if they had an exit strategy. Do you want to stay with, this is your business, or, I mean.
Right. I don't think at this point in time we're 15 months in of having our doors open, and we're not thinking about that side of things. Yeah. Like, we truly, like John mentioned, we are looking at that, you know.
You want to make good beer and have your place be successful.
Yeah, I mean, our biggest thing is like, if we put beer out to market, we don't want for it to sit. We want for folks to buy the beer.
You
want
to build
the
demand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as opposed to like artificially getting marketing to get people to buy it or whatever.
Yeah.
When's the restaurant going to open? I know, it's a tough one.
So we're in the final throes of trying to get our lease deal done here. We're very excited. We do have one of our food trucks that does an amazing job, and it's Steve and Ashley, and they're wonderful people. Steve is a,
so they're going to run the restaurant.
They're going to take over that space, and they're going to be the food side of things for us. So it won't be Dudley Town. They'll be featured inside of our tap room, but it will be symbiotic. It'll all be in the same space.
What are we looking at for a date window wise? Spring.
It's a moving target. We're hoping, you know, maybe January, February. Potentially.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
The space itself is already built out. So it's a matter of, you know, equipment lead times and
what kind of food are we talking?
So we're going to feature a massive wood-fired pizza oven that's going to be visual inside of the tap room. So when you're at the main bar,
Nice. You'll
see this unit in action. But we have a large kitchen space. It's 2,500 square feet. So they're going to have the ability to push out a bunch of food. They currently push out a very eclectic type of food right now for their food truck, and I'm sure they're going to continue to do that. Wood-fired pizzas and then other stuff.
Awesome.
So it's to be determined at this point.
We're out of time, boys. When the restaurant opens, come back.
Absolutely. Yes.
And Saturday, huge event, $10 to get in, a whole bunch of weird, crazy, fun stuff, and great beer. Daryl Dunlap and Jonathan Levine from Dudley Town Brewery, right on Dayhill Road in Windsor. It's an easy hop off of 91, and it's an easy ride for a lot of people. It's probably less than 20 minutes from Hartford. We appreciate the time, guys.
Yeah, I would shout out to our business partners, James Duncan and Michael Sylvester as
well. Yeah, Duncan was supposed to come in.
I know.
Give it all the shout outs.
No, they're great, and we couldn't have done this without them. So just wanted to plug
in as well. Yeah, of course. They can come in next time.